So maybe some of you have heard of the, I think it would be called an adage, birds of a feather flock together. You may not be aware, that's not the whole thing. This is just something interesting I found. The whole phrase is, birds of a feather flock together until the cat attacks. So when I took that into consideration, it didn't actually fit my sermonette at all, but I thought I'd throw it out there for fun. There is another hymn, that's, another quote that's similar. It's from the 15th century novel written by Miguel de Cervantes, and he's giving credit in the novel to someone else's quote, so it's been around long before the time, but the quote goes, the novel is Don Quixote, in case you were wondering. Very famous novel. That fits the proverb, quoth Sancho, which says, you shall know the person by his company. There's also many other quotes that are similar. I picked a few up. One is by Mr. Colin Powell. A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the friends, kind of friends he chooses. There's another quote that I think is just even almost infinitely wise. It says, it is better to be alone than in bad company. Unless you are the bad company, then it is better to take a nap. And that's my quote. I made it up, and I think it's very true, especially with a four-year-old boy running around. The purpose of this message is to explore the effects that the company we keep has on us and what the Bible has to say about it. In the first century, the Apostle Paul corrected Christians in Corinth for, as we might say today, hanging with the wrong crowd. He told them, and this is the first scripture, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 through 34. This is reading from the NIV. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. These Christians were spending time with people guided by wrong values and acting in wrong ways. This severely and adversely affected them. Bad examples were crowding God out of their lives. And Paul said that it was shameful. The people with whom we spend time affect us, you and I. Whether we believe it or not, we come to resemble them. The Bible mentions this principle in several places, emphasizing the good and the bad side of influence. There's one scripture to highlight the negative. Is in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. It says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And then there's a positive one. There can be a positive side of influence. For that, we'll reference Proverbs 27 and verse 17, which reads, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And if you want to go for the 1-2 punch and get them both in one shot, you can reference Proverbs 13 and verse 20, which says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So how do we go about making changes in our lives so that we are surrounded by the kind of people who help us grow and improve, rather than the kind of people who negatively influence us? The key is to control the influence the bad company has on our lives, because believe it or not, we cannot necessarily control all the interactions, who we get to interact with. Influence is powerful. The more time we spend with bad company, the more likely we are to learn their ways and start adopting their habits. That relationship will have a direct impact on who we become. That's the power of influence. It changes people. It doesn't always mean a bad change. But the Bible spends a lot of time warning us not to underestimate the impact of influence in our lives. Solomon also wrote in Proverbs 13 and verse 20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Paul warned, that one made it in there twice. It's extra important. Paul warned the church, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character," in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. There's no way to switch this process off. We can't become a companion of fools and expect not to be influenced by those same fools. But making it a priority to walk with the wise will guarantee a far more positive influence in our lives. So now we'll look at an example of Israel. Many of you recall the Old Testament story where Israel was told to destroy the Canaanites. We could refer to it as a case study in the power of negative influence. So God told them specifically to destroy the Canaanites, leave nothing to be left, destroy all their cattle, destroy all their slaves, and everything, top to bottom, raise it to the ground. Because they offered false gods, every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, for they even burned their sons and daughters in the fire to the gods. They were through and through something that God didn't want to see in his people. But Israel did not follow through. They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them. But they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. That's a outtake from Psalms 106, verse 34 through 38. Influence was at work. And influence, whether you believe it or not, or you're aware of it or not, is always at work. Not all influence is created equal, and there are three factors that directly impact the strength a given influence has on us. Those three factors are proximity, respect, and repetition. If we want to alter the amount of influence someone or something has over us, we can start by adjusting those factors accordingly. Starting with the first one, proximity. This is the most straightforward factor. How close are you to the influence? Lessening its impact means putting some distance, real or metaphorical, between it and you. If you're not near it, it's not going to have as easy a time pulling you in. And if it's a good influence that you want to have a greater impact in your life, well, get closer. That might mean going out of your way to avoid certain people or making an effort to spend time with others. Or it may mean putting some objects like your Bible within arm's reach while making others like a smartphone with distracting apps harder to access. The second is respect. Of the three factors we're discussing, respect is the only internal one. It can have the greatest impact on what influences us while being the hardest to change. We naturally want to be like the people and concepts that we respect. Respecting someone who exerts a negative influence can make it that much more difficult to break free of it. The key here is to spend extra time making sure we respect what God respects and hate what God hates. The more we study His word to find what those things are, the more we'll prime ourselves to respond to positive influence and ignore the negative ones. The third one, repetition. Whereas proximity is about our distance from a given influence, and repetition is about how often we encounter that influence. The two go hand in hand, and the closer you are to an influence, the more likely you are to encounter it on a regular basis. But repetition is sometimes easier to change than proximity, even when you can't change the distance between yourself and an influence. You might be able to change your routine in a way that brings you into contact with it more or less frequently. Changing any of these three factors will change the strength of an influence in your life. You might not always be able to change all three of them, and you might not be able to change each of them to the same degree, but every little bit helps. Those are your levers. If we are close to something, value it, and routinely spend time with it, we're more likely to internalize it and let it change us. And if we're far from it, disgusted by it, and actively avoiding it, we're more likely to remain unchanged by it. By keeping some of the Canaanites around as their neighbors, they were keeping those people in close proximity. They developed an interest in their customs, so they developed respect, and then continually mingled with them, which was repetition. Israel came to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. They became who God hated and worse. This resulted in their own destruction and captivity. Conversely, the Apostle Peter, who considered himself a sinful man, in Luke 5 and verse 8, was positively influenced by the 3.5 years he spent with Jesus Christ. Years that were filled with proximity, respect, and repetition of a better influence. When Jesus asked if the disciples wanted to give up and walk away, Peter replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." From John 6 and verse 68. Conclusion: influence is a powerful force. And it can be a force for good, it can be a force for bad, and it will shape us. As Christians in progress, our job is to be aware of the two important truths about influence. The first truth is this: we can actively choose who and what we're influenced by. How? By adjusting the proximity, respect, and repetition involved. Our responsibility is to pursue godly wisdom and steer clear of foolishness. The other truth is this: just as the lives of others can influence us, so too can our lives influence others. Whether that's an influence that other Christians seek out or seek to avoid depends entirely on us. How can we be a good influence? Well, that is definitely a different message. But here's the spoiler, and it comes from 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 14. Let all that you do be done with love.